Hello and welcome to What's New in Microsoft Teams for November and December. We're going to be looking at what's new and available now. So we have four items: Fluid Components, Microsoft Teams Tabs Actions have moved, Q&A and Teams Meetings, and the redesigned store. We're going to look at some revised timelines, so basically some stuff that's late. Some bite-sized updates, that's where I just have a few lines to tell you about an update. And then we get into our full update. So we'll look at pinning or hiding your video feed in Teams meetings. We have the ability to unmirror your video feed, the co-organizer role that's coming to Teams meetings, and improved management of guest accounts. We have a couple of ones to watch. This is where we look a little bit further out, or we just don't know much about it, so we've just got this one line. But typically it's ones which are coming a little bit further down the line, so we don't have a great amount of detail on them. And finally, a couple of notes on how you keep up with Teams. But first of all, folks, if you haven't already, please like the video and subscribe. Last time I did one of these videos come out once every 1 or 2 months, unlike my Microsoft 365 and Teams updates. So these are far less frequent. But the last one, less than half the people that watched it were subscribed. So those folk are going to miss out on this video potentially. So please subscribe. And also, it really helps me with the YouTube algorithms. So let's get into our first updates. So we're looking at what's new and available now. Fluid live components in Teams chat. So you might have heard people talking about Loop or Fluid Live Components. This is all part of the same thing. So let me just zoom in on this a little bit. Let me just show you what we've got down here. So you can see that we've got this this new icon here. It looks like a couple of components looped together with that square behind them. And once you open it up, you can then add something to a chat. So we're talking about the tables. We have tables, lists, all sorts of stuff that you can put in there. Unlike normal things that you put into chat where only you can edit it, everybody that's in the group can edit it. Then you can lock it, you can share it, you can move it. And I think what's going to happen further down the line is that these components that will actually be, they'll be standalone. Well, they are standalone already and they're showing up in chat, but they're going to surface anywhere across Microsoft 365. So start get using these now because I think they're here to stay and I think they're going to be super flexible. So they became available, I think, late October, maybe into November. So go and check that out. It's definitely worth having a look. This next one, the Microsoft Teams tab actions have moved. This is quite a nice update, actually. The tab actions are moving out of the tab header bar. So when you open the tab, you get the icons across the top. And a little bit, unless you know what they did or you looked for them, they're just, even though when you knew they were there, you could see them, but they're almost hiding in plain sight, almost. This is a much nicer way of doing it. So reloading the tab, going to the website, copying the link to tab, popping out a tab on about this tab, it's all in this dropdown. So remember that previously the dropdown stuff was for the tab owner, and yeah, you could rename it, you could change it to what you wanted. But now everybody will see the top part of here. So these ones at the top, they won't be able to rename it unless they've got permissions to do so. But look out for that, folks. That arrived sometime between mid-November and into December. Another really good one is Q&A in Teams meetings. Now, I hear people saying, do we really need Q&A? Because you can just use the chat. But yes, of course you can use the chat. But if you do that, if, say, I ask a question and then somebody else makes some random comment or asks a question and someone tries to respond to my question, so sure, you can reply to it, but it's not nearly as nice as you as the meeting organizer allowing the Q&A and allowing anyone to ask questions and anyone to answer, because when people respond, the answers get nested, so you can see really clearly who's commenting on what. So to set this up, you create your meeting like you normally would, then go to your meeting in your calendar, click the little plus sign at the top, and then do a search for or click on Q&A, and then you add it. Then you can choose your options. Let's have a closer look at this. So you can see here that, do you want to allow attendees to ask questions? Yes, I do. Can attendees respond? I suggest you say yes, because then people can help people out. And what I find is that on some of my regular sessions that I run, when people are starting to get to know each other a little bit, they're much more likely to respond to each other. So leaving that on, I think, is a good thing. Moderating attendee conversation. So I, even though it's ticked here or checked here, I would turn this off, because I don't want to have to check every question before it goes live. But if you've got maybe a very controlled meeting, or you've got maybe a contentious or topic or audience and you want to check, then I guess that would be useful. Anyway, that is available now, and it's super useful, folks. Certainly worth you checking out. And if you're not sure about it, maybe don't use it for the first time on a live meeting. Set up a test meeting. Maybe invite your Gmail or your Hotmail account. Join that meeting and just have this little practice with yourself. But it's definitely worth you checking out. The Microsoft Teams store experience has been redesigned. So not super exciting here, but just definitely worth a look. So the landing page has been optimized for ease of discoverability. You get these rotating banners at the top that spotlight interesting apps. I've got to be honest, I'm not sure what I think about it. Maybe in a huge organization, maybe it's worth looking at. Or if your organization let you install anything you want, then maybe that would be that would work well for you. The recommended apps are those which are popular amongst your colleagues, as well as being popular generally. And that was updated late November, mid-December, so it's hard to say exactly, because you don't always notice it coming in. It doesn't have an exact date, and it's different for some people. But that came in late November, early December. Okay, so let's have a look at what is late. So this looks quite useful, the transcript in one-to-one Teams voiceover IP call. So I apologize for leaving that VoIP in. It's just if you're talking to somebody and you're on Teams and they're on Teams and you've called that way rather than through like a telephone. And maybe I don't want to keep notes. I just want to be able to refer quickly back. I can get a transcript of that call. So although that wouldn't be a record, because in my experience, the transcripts don't always understand everything I say. I don't know whether it's my accent coming from the Midlands of in England, or if ever people have that issue. But I have to double check the transcript. But you know what? Just as a rough recording of what I've done, some rough notes, I think that's going to be super useful. Look out for that later in January. This looks super exciting. And if you go into your Teams and you go into developer mode, in fact, if I open this up now, let me just open up my Teams. Okay, I've just opened up my Teams, and you can see that I'm in developer preview. Now, if I go to settings, you can see here that under privacy, I've got the keyboard shortcut to unmute. So press and hold control and spacebar to temporarily unmute your mic during a meeting. So let's say someone quickly calls you out on a meeting and you have to wiggle your mouse, work out where your mouse pointer is, then find the button to come off mute. You don't have to do that anymore. Once this comes live, you can just press the control and spacebar, hold them down, speak, and then you release them, then you come off mute. So that, I think, is going to be super popular. And I have that in developer mode, like I just showed you then. But you can, you'll be getting, almost everyone will be getting this by the end of January, I think. So pairing naming convention between Teams channels and corresponding SharePoint folders. So just to remind you what this is. So you know that when you create a Microsoft team, then you get the 365 group created around it, but also in there you get your SharePoint site in there. Now, when you go to a team, you go to a channel, and you go to the files tab, where you're really looking is that SharePoint site that I just told you about. And every time you create a channel inside the main document library inside that SharePoint site, you get a new folder for each channel that you get. So when you then go to the files area, you're really looking inside this folder. Now, when you then change the name of one of your channels, what doesn't happen is that name of that folder behind the scenes, that doesn't get updated. So when people are looking for SharePoint, or they're going in another way, it's difficult for them to connect which folders relate to which channels. And understand it that way. Now, what's going to happen is when you change the name of a channel, then that folder behind the scenes will get updated as well. Now, it seems to me they've got some work to do because they're pushing it back as late as late April, but I think that is going to be super useful. People who do training or do any sort of support, when I was I've been talking about this for quite a while actually, haven't I? If you listen to my weekly or bi-weekly updates on Microsoft Teams and Office 365 as a whole, you this will be familiar to you. But people seem to really like this. Looking forward to this coming out. Okay, Teams meetings, background video effects on the web. So you know that you can change your background when you're in a Teams meeting, but web users can't. And I know that some people, I'm not going to explain why, but I know of some people who still have to use the web version and they haven't got this yet. So I think this is going to be good for them. Just more parity between the web version of Teams and the app version. Revised timelines. So meetings, Teams meeting recordings, auto expiration on OneDrive and SharePoint. Okay. A lot of organizations now, when people record a meeting, it gets recorded to the person's OneDrive if it's just a regular meeting, or to SharePoint if it's a channel meeting. Now, Microsoft have worked out that something like after 60 days after a meeting, almost none of those recordings ever get looked at again, like ever. And of course, all these recordings take space and it builds up and builds up and builds up. And of course, there's an issue there of information being just kept accidentally, just kept out of habit. Now, apart from anything else, that has got an environmental footprint as well, because that has to be kept and stored. But also there's data issues there and other things to consider. Now, what's coming out is the ability to auto-delete those meetings. And you can see here, this isn't an end user screenshot. This is something like what the admins will see. So do they want your meeting recordings to automatically expire on? How many days? In this case, 45. Now, this can be set from one day up to 99,999, which is like 240 years or something like that. If this applies to you and it's your recording, don't worry, because you will be notified and you can override it if one of your recordings is going to be deleted. If you miss it and it gets deleted, it can be recovered for a while. But I think that's going to be really good. I think there's a lot of reasons to like this. So I like the idea of keeping information on purpose and not just out of habit. Look out for that, folks. January to February. Music mode for meetings has been pushed back a little bit. So you can see just down here, high fidelity music mode in your meetings. So it uses a lot more bandwidth, but it just means that you've got much higher quality sound going across. Back when we were all locked down and my daughter was having her violin lessons, this would have been great. It means I wouldn't have had to have used Zoom and their equivalent of what that is. That's coming out late January to late February. And also, there's a related feature on that where it will automatically pick up music and it's going to ask you, are you trying to transmit music or should I cut it out? So are you playing music to the audience or are you just in a coffee shop and it's picking up music? So it's going to automatically ask you about that. View switcher. This has been put on hold. So I remember telling people that this had gone live. It must have just been in preview. So instead of having to click on the three little dots here to choose your layout, you'd have this little box top left-hand corner, and then you could choose your layout. I really like that. I thought it was a good idea. But apparently no one else did because they've put it on hold based on feedback, and we'll see whether that comes back ever. What else have we got? The meeting join custom branding. All that is that when people join your organization's meetings, you could brand that experience. So you just see in the middle here. So you could brand this experience here so it looked like it was branded by your organization. Again, someone doesn't think that's a good idea because that's on hold as well. End-to-end encryption for Teams calling due early January. So if your organization opt into this, you're going to get end-to-end encryption. So when I mentioned this to some people, they said, well, does that mean that our calls aren't encrypted at the moment? Are our calls in Teams not secure? And no, that's not right. So you should think of your tenant as a secure house. Okay, and then everyone in the house, that's not quite right. You got a secure house And some elements in the house can overhear some things that you're saying. So think about when you have transcripts or you record or you have the captions on the screen, something has to listen to that to create those, right? Now imagine inside that safe house, you've got a soundproof safe room and you go into there and no one can hear anything that you're saying. So you could set this up so you can turn on your end-to-end encryption and then you can't write recordings, you can't invite other people to it, you can't have the transcripts or all that sort of stuff that would need the system to listen to. So it's going to be interesting. I think some organizations might have issues with there being too much privacy and not enough transparency, but let's see how that pans out. I think you'll see some talk about that when it comes to becomes live, and you see whether your organization goes for that or not. Anyway, push back a little bit, early January. Okay, some bite-sized updates. The ability to switch between multiple team video cameras in Microsoft Teams Rooms on Windows. Let's have a quick look at this. And you can see here that this Teams Room, it's got multiple cameras, and it just means that you can easily switch between them. I've got to be honest, folks, I have not been into the office for a long time, and I've not had any chance to look at this. But that should have gone live by now, so it'd be interesting in the comments if anyone could comment on that, whether it is live. Automatically detect music, that's that thing I told you about a few minutes ago. So the system is detecting the fact that someone's playing music, and it's asking you, should I cut this music out? Are you in a coffee shop? Or are you actually trying to play music to your audience? And in which case, do you want to turn on high fidelity mode for the sound? And it just comes across a lot nicer. What else we've got? Configure your activity feed notifications. So mid to late January. Now in that developer preview that I showed you earlier, I've already got this, and it means you can turn off the notifications for the reactions to things. They take up a lot of space, a lot of noise. There's a few other bits to do that as well. If you're interested, check out the blog. You'll see more information on that. But I hear people complain about the activity feed, that it is still noisy, there's still not enough control. This is another step in the right direction. And this means that you're going to get more control over your activity feed. Anytime now, the fact that I'm seeing it in the preview suggests to me that it's going to drop at any time now. What else? We have chat with self, February this year. I really like this. And when I talked about it with when I was doing some of my bigger updates for Inform, people don't seem to know why I like it so much. So have you ever sent yourself a text message or sent yourself an email or just some little almost like, it's like writing yourself a digital post-it note that you slap on your desk just to remind you to do something, or the first thing that you see in the morning, or you can send this chat to yourself. I don't know if you think it would work or not. Be interested to see what you think. I really like that I do this, and I will 100% use it. Anyway, ability to chat with yourself like a crazy person is coming in February. Okay, so let's have a look at some of our fuller updates. Here's the ability to pin your own video in Teams meetings. Let's have a little zoom into here, and you can see that actually this is, we've got to the point now where we're unpinning. So, but you got this little, on your video feed, you've got this little mark here, and you can click drop down, and you can pin for you or unpin for you in this case. You can also increase the size of it. Pinning is just for you. Other people, it's not pinned for them. It's not like spotlighting. And this is due early January to early February. So I must admit, when I first saw this, I was like, who would want to pin their own video? But imagine that you're responsible for doing the signing, like sign language on one of your meetings. This would be useful for you just to double check that your arms and your hands are in view and things are nice and clear. Maybe you are showing something behind you, you're doing like a demo or pointing to something, then it might be useful to just double check where your hands are going and make sure that people can see what you're talking about. So a couple of things, reasons there why that might be useful. Now, the opposite of that is, let's just have a closer look at this as well. So here we've got the ability to click on the ellipses for little dots and hide for me. So you can hide your video feed. If you go to the participant roster in your meeting as well, so you can go next to your name and you can do this as well. Now, it does give you a hint that you've still got your video on. So you get this little sliver here, and you can see that it's just kind of showing me that my video is there and it can pop back out. Now, Microsoft Teams meetings, or any sort of meetings using this sort of software, especially a lot of them during the day or during the week, the overhead is quite considerable. So think about what you do on a meeting. You're trying to pay attention to what the person's saying, what's been presented to you. Maybe that you have reasons to look at the other video feeds. Maybe you keep an eye on the chat, and then you've got yours as well, and then you get really conscious about the way you look on there. You don't really relax. So you've got a lot of things going on. This is just one thing that you can park. And you can put it to one side. Everyone else will still see your feed. You can leave your feed on, but it just means that for you just put it out of the way, because some people just hate the look at their own feed. So I think that's super useful. Now, look out for this January to February this year. Unmirror your video in Teams meetings. There's a lot of video tweaks going on, aren't there? So if you use a virtual background in a meeting on your video feeds, you'll be aware that if you have a logo or some writing, when you look at it, it's the wrong way around, the text and the logo. And that's a little bit off-putting, especially if your organization haven't gone to the trouble of explaining all this to you. Also, if you are showing something on a board, so say demoing, just like in the previous points, if you're demonstrating something or you got text on there, it's a bit off-putting that it's the wrong way, or your hands move the wrong direction, it doesn't quite help, things don't look like you're going to. Anyway, if we get down to here, we can see that we have the option. By default, it will mirror, which is the behavior that you're used to now. But if you put that slider across, then it will put it the right way around, so you see it like you're expecting to see it. Let's just quick go for this. So you can do this before, during, or after your meeting, and it's due January to February this year. Now, this is going to be awesome. This is the co-organizer role coming to Teams meetings. This is so popular. Now, picture, thinking about a colleague who just before Christmas, she was helping someone with a whole set of meetings that are running at a very similar time, and there was a problem with people getting into a meeting. Now, the other person had organized them. Unfortunately, she was also presenting. So when my colleague was helping to try to support her, and she had this problem, she couldn't get to her because she was presenting. Now, imagine if she had been made one of the 10 available co-organizers, then she could have just taken care of this. So you can make up 10 people co-organizers, so they can do this, they can access and change the meeting details, they can bypass the lobby, they can admit people to the lobby, which would have been helpful in that case, lock the meeting, present content. So there's lots of things they can do. There's a few things they can't do, the breakout room stuff, but that's okay because you can create breakout room managers, right? So that's the alternative to that, and there's the other tasks they can do. Now, this is due early to mid-February, really popular, and I think that's going to be worth you looking out for, folks. What else we got? Improved management of guest accounts. So this, for as long as there has been Microsoft Teams, there's been complaints about how it handles multiple accounts. It's just been forever, something it just doesn't seem to get right. Now, this is getting a little bit better. Now, if we just have a little zoom in here, we can see that with these accounts here, if I click on the three little dots there, I've got some options to turn off notifications. I can switch there, I can hide it, I can leave that organization. So it's just a little bit easier. So you can see on the screen now, declining requests, initiating, leaving, managing the list, so I can show and hide stuff. So it's just getting a little bit easier to manage those accounts that you've got. Due anytime now. Okay, so once to watch, let's look a little bit further out. Chat density, customizing the number of chat messages you see on the screen. Now, I know that you can change the zoom on Teams and go in right, but maybe I'm happy with how it all is. I just want to see more chat squeezed into that space and less space you wasted. So that's coming, and at the moment, it's due January this year. I've not seen anything about that for a little while, actually, so I gotta be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if it slips. But maybe if you look out for next month, or if they're one of these sessions in about 8 weeks, I'll have more information for you. But in the meantime, folks, look out for that. I think that's going to be quite useful. the expanded reactions in Microsoft Teams. Say you're in a chat and you want to react to something. At the moment you have, I think, is it 5 or 6 maybe reactions? You know, like the thumbs up, the heart, the smiley face, the cross face, and I think there's something else. Anyway, so there's like 880 these reactions inside Windows, isn't there? And you're going to get access to all of them. So when you're reacting, you got access to all of those. But look out for that. It's been pushed back to as late as March, so mid-January, maybe to late March for most of us. Look out for that, folks. It's a bit of fun. I know that some organisations don't like them. I don't know why, but they don't. And some grumps don't like them either. But look out for that, folks. I really like the kind of visual stuff in Teams, and I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so how do you keep up with Microsoft Teams? So the blog is useful as well. So I'm going to share this URL in the chat. So it, as I do the regular updates throughout the week, and almost all of the things I've just been talking to you about, there's a blog post for each of those. So if you follow this, you'll come to this theme here, and you can see the newest stories at the top here. And at a glance of the image, you get the gist of it, and you'll probably recognize those slides. Now, if you scroll down a little bit, you see each article. There you get the title, it's about Microsoft Teams, and you see it at a glance with the image, but also you'll see the first paragraph of what it's about. And if it's of interest to you, click on it and go and have a look. What else can you do? You can sign up for the newsletter there. Now, the newsletter doesn't have full details of everything. It just lets you know when an update has been released, and from there you can watch the video, you can look at the blog, you can listen to the podcast, so whatever you want. So hopefully that helps you just keep up with Microsoft Teams, but also Microsoft 365 in general. Okay, so whether you like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, wherever you're into your podcasts or you want to read the blog, do a search for Super Simple 365 and you'll be taken to all of those. Whatever platform you like that you see on the screen now, do a search for Super Simple 365 and then go and check out the videos, the blogs, whatever it is you like. Follow me on Twitter for day-to-day updates as they come out. And then, like a reminder, sign up for the newsletter and you'll get pushed. That information will be pushed to you and then you can keep up to date. Now, if you are on YouTube, please give me a thumbs up and subscribe. It makes a big difference. But for now, folks, we are done. Remember, if you want to keep up to date between now and the next big catch-up, which comes out once a month, once every couple of months, remember that I do a weekly or bi-weekly version of this across the whole of 365, or on Twitter, you get daily updates as well. Okay, folks, we're done. I'm Mark at Super Simple 365, and I hope to see you in a few weeks.